get. A lot of people, you know, volunteer to actually road test career routes as well, because they keep their, you know, options open as well. So it's a chance for them to kind of spend about 6 months with yourself, sometimes a year. And the good thing is if you get a good student from the first year, you know, they're likely to stay on with yourselves until the end of the year, which is at least 3 years, up to 4 years sometimes. A lot of people now, again, with employability as well, so with obviously volunteering as well, so hone lots of skills as well. So that's the key reasons why they say to us they want to actually volunteer. But they've got their own personal reasons as well. And before you actually advertise volunteering roles, again, I don't want to repeat, I don't know how much you kind of covered earlier on in this sort of area, but it's a matter of thinking about what your aims are as a project as well, and what your targets are as well, and what you can offer to our students as well. You know, we at the moment offer a range of different opportunities. We offer like online-based volunteering for distance learners, so if you've got a website that you want someone to kind of help with as well, they can work from home. That's the beauty of that opportunity. Then you can even do some projects, and we've got Welford Road Cemetery, for example. They want us to do now and then, once a month, one weekly sort of events where we kind of clear up the cemetery as well. So that's good for international students as well, kind of universal volunteering roles. Even if you've got shorter or longer term projects, you know, we'll have students from particular areas and interests as well. You might want to kind of commit to a particular project area as well. So, and it's a matter of thinking about flexibility, you know, because a lot of students, they do have a lot of time free. A lot of people are free in the weekends and the evenings as well. So, you know, if you're more flexible, you know, you are on your part as well. You're likely to kind of retain the volunteers as well. And we can kind of help support. I mean, we offer training as well to our students. So we offer programmes such as like the Leicester Award for Employability, where students, they undertake 25 hours of volunteering. So at the beginning of the academic year, particularly in October, when we recruit, students are always looking for projects, which are long-term projects, at least 6 months worth of projects, so they can build up their hours and volunteer a couple of hours a week. So it's a good way of kind of pushing your opportunities in the academic year. But we'll, of course, if you've got opportunities in summer as well, we've got a lot of students who stay behind in the summer as well, again, international students as well, who are really good with computers as well. So, and again, highlighting to the students the benefits to them as well, what, you know, they can actually gain as well, because sometimes we, you know, with students, we have to kind of spoon feed them and say, you know, if you volunteer with us, this is what you'll gain, and that's what we kind of actually find kind of helps. And again, like role descriptions, it's almost similar to like a job description as well. So these are the sort of headings we actually use when opportunities are actually advertised on My Careers as well. So I know a lot of projects, you know, we put down a volunteer project as well, but I think it's a matter of not falsely selling it, but kind of, you know, the title of the role plays a big impact as well. A lot of conferences that we attend to, like the what used to be the Volunteering England, and again, you know, if you've got a role like gallery assistants, and we'll kind of give you tips as well. We've got resources as well that we can forward on to you as well, if you'd like, you know, any kind of documents you want to circulate to your colleagues as well, which I can email at a later stage. And again, if you kind of implement any sort of training, like even it doesn't have to be really detailed training. If there's someone there to support the volunteers, you know, with regular check-ins as well, that will help volunteer retention as well. And again, expenses. I think, do you all refund expenses, student expenses, or with volunteering projects? It's worth kind of considering, you know, out of pocket expenses in the case of like bus fares and whatnot. So that would help as well with our students as well, just to kind of, you know, to kind of again help with the retention of volunteers. Just looking at role descriptions here, I've got an example here. This is like a really brief role description that. This is a real opportunity that's been advertised on My Careers. So this is how it first got sent to us. You know, it's quite brief, with gallery helper, you know, to provide assistance to those attending the actual gallery in the museum. But then what we thought we'd kind of make it a bit more interesting. We kind of updated it as in the customer care advisor. So and we had so many more hits. We had it up there. We had one of our student interns kind of at first write that up, and we were wondering, the organisation contacted us and hadn't heard anything. So we had a look through it and thought, well, let's kind of mix it up a bit. Let's add some more, you know, benefits to the students. So we've kind of we've used four headings. Just kind of update the actual role title. That looks good on their CV as well, because with students now, instead of volunteering opportunities at the bottom under hobbies, a lot of employers want volunteering to be advertised and actually presented in the same way as paid work as well. So we say to them, you may as well advertise the volunteering role like a job description as well. So the students will kind of hold on to that, and then they'll actually talk about their experiences just like they would do in paid work. So again, we've kind of thrown in some kind of competencies as well. So, and again, a lot of our volunteers, a lot of people are shy, that, you know, they lack confidence as well, and that's one of the reasons why they volunteer. So any sort of desired skills, if not essential, I know some particular projects need essential particular skills, but desired skills such as, you know, communication skills and whatnot, and they can actually kind of see also the benefits of what they can gain as well, which I mentioned. So that will kind of, they've got skills gaps as well as part of their volunteering award programs. They're asked to identify any gaps in their skills, so if they can kind of see, if they get to see what they'll gain, they're likely again to match up to what they want to kind of gain from their experience. So this got how many hits? I think in the end about like 40 to 50 hits in the week. Hits means the students who actually clicked onto the opportunity and seen it. Before, I think we had about 5 or 6, so something, small changes kind of help the role description.
How do you know it's students?
And students.
You said we've got 60 student hits a week.
Yes.
How do you know they're students and not just...
No, we have students have a particular section of the My Careers database, which they can use and access. We've got our staff profile, then there's an employer or, you know, volunteering profile as well that yourselves can access as well. So, but yes, 60 hits so far. I didn't check it again. It might have been taken off because the beauty of the My Career system, which I'll show you, and the roles, if they expire by a particular date, and you can put an expiry date, it will get removed. So it's not a lot of maintenance. Once you publish a role, you put an expiry date, and it will automatically, you know, delete afterwards. But yeah, I'll have a look at that in a moment. And then again, what I found is contact. A lot of volunteers. For example, we've had National Autistic Society. Even it was coming onto campus once a month or every 2 months coming onto campus. And we've got rooms that we can even book for free. If you've got training sessions you want to run or meet with volunteers, we're happy to book that for you. Or sometimes students can book rooms as well for yourselves. And regular contact, that will kind of give volunteers, we think, the sense of ownership as well, give them kind of a responsibility, someone to kind of report back to as well. More contact will keep the volunteers. And again, personal development, like setting them targets, I think giving volunteers a bit of ownership as well. I mean, we have projects where, you know, we give students targets. You know, last year, you know, MS Society raised £300. This year, we'd like to raise £500. What would you like to do? I think especially with young people as well, getting their ideas and taking them on board as well, they would kind of really get passionate about the actual role. And a lot of students, I've seen lots of students now, they stay on, they start first or second year, so they want to, and they're really sad to leave as well, the project as well, so it's fantastic. And what I think is also really important is acknowledgement and praise, and what you can do, because I heard the last part of your presentation about blogs, and what's really the new websites now that I'm seeing is a lot of case studies. So if you've got a volunteer, you can kind of ask them a couple of questions about why they volunteer, what they enjoyed about volunteering for your organisation. And then peer-to-peer advertising works really well, because a lot of students, I say to them as well, we have interns who do talks because they feel that we're preaching almost, you have to volunteer, you have to do this. So it's nice to kind of put sort of case studies up as well, let students hear about other students and their experiences as well. And again, we can target particular students and departments as well. I know some departments, they often require their students to undertake experience, 6 months worth of experiences, whether it's volunteering or placement. So maybe the scope for yourselves to contact departments as well if there's a need, and then they can maybe advertise your organisation through their websites as well. A lot of postgraduate and PhD students, they've got specialist areas of interest as well. So if you're seeking any particular specialist skills, let us know, send us the role descriptions, and then we can help you with the role description as well. So that will be help. And then also we've got lots and lots of student societies as well. We've got the Contact Student Volunteers Committee, and they've got over 1,000 members. These are again separate to the students who've expressed an interest in volunteering through our database, and these are all student-led projects. So if you've got one-off events, any events that you want to support the students, and the volunteering society can help you there as well. We've got particular societies as well, and these are all entirely student-led. They've got a team of president, secretary, someone who can advertise on your behalf as well. And if a project grows and grows and they're really passionate about it, you never know, they scope, they can set up your own student representation on campus as well. You can have your own little mini little hit spot on campus. So that's what the organisation's doing. In fact, the MS Society, they've got 8 students who are interested in continuing to volunteer, and they've set up their own fundraising group now, and that will continue now. Even after the students leave, they get to leave behind their legacy. Right, no, with the students, as long as, I mean, with the insurance that's covered, we've got the insurance policy and covered. What we, at the moment, we allow the students, because they're 18 and over 18, what we do is we promote it. So we've got a disclosure on our website as well, so with the equipment that they use. At the moment, we've got people using different sorts of machinery. We've got sewing machinery, so the students, it'd be basically, it's their responsibility to make the decision. We would advertise a role, but ultimately, you know, over 18, I don't know if there's any other policies that yourselves are aware of, it's basically their decision, yes or no. And then the reason why is we've got our own student-led projects that I mentioned, our student volunteers, so they're covered by the university sort of insurance, the students' union insurance. So
it's a little bit different in that sense, but there are a couple of very, very good things about working with volunteers. One is that they're very keen and enthusiastic, which you don't necessarily get that with employees. It's, okay, well, I've got to do that, have I? Yeah, all right, and what's the time? Is it time to go home yet? Whereas an employee volunteer is coming to you because they're actually keen on your project. They're going to be keen and enthusiastic, and that is very much a bonus with that. The other thing about working with volunteers is that you've got a much wider range of skills. Because when you're working in a work environment, you've got a set of employees, they've got various skills. If you want some skill that they haven't got, you've got to go and get yourself another employee, which costs money. If you've got a job that you want a volunteer to do, you can sort of cast your net really wide and find a volunteer that's actually got those skills. Now, when you're actually working with volunteers, what you should do is the things which have already been mentioned. It's really important that they actually know what is expected of them. It's very important that you realise people come from volunteering with a different range of things that they want from that volunteering opportunity. Everybody is different. The best thing to do is to actually work with your volunteers, actually find out a little bit about them, find out what makes them tick, find out what motivates them. Everybody is very, very different. Some of them want to gain new skills. Some of them want to put something on their CV. Some of them want to make new friends. Some of them are with you because they're actually very enthused with your project and they actually want to do whatever it is your project is doing. Some of them just want to give things back to the community. Find out what actually makes them tick. Find out what their skills are. Find out what they want to do. And actually try and engineer, if you like, volunteering opportunities that actually match what they want to do. Because if you can do that, they will stay with you far longer. Try not to make it open-ended. Try and get them to do some project that's fairly short-term where you can actually say, this is what I want you to do. You can actually be specific so they know what is expected of them. Give them a written job description, for want of a better word, if you think that will be helpful. Make sure they know what is expected of them. Make sure they know what support they can have, that they're not actually on their own. If they've got a problem, this is who they ask. This is what they do if they've got an issue with that. And actually make sure you actually deliver that. Make sure they know what the time commitment is. We would all like volunteers who actually stay with us forever and give us, you know, 20, 30 hours a month for the next 5 years or something like that. But you have to be realistic and you have to start them off with a little precise project. And if you can come up with breaking something down, like my e-volunteering project, where I get people and say, would you sign up to do this? All you've got to do is an hour's work whenever you want, or 2 hours or whatever. And then they will do that and they will come back for more and come back for a bit more and come back for a bit more. My student volunteers, they're giving me 14 hours a week over 6 weeks, and then that's it. We had the first project last year. I've got one of last year's that signed up to do it again this year as well. Offer to cover their costs. In a lot of cases, volunteers won't necessarily ask you for expenses, but do at least offer, because they will appreciate it if you offer. If you're actually trying to attract volunteers from disadvantaged communities, and you've got lottery funding, or you're going for lottery funding, HLF will actually provide you with money to cover volunteer expenses. They will even provide you with money to cover things like childcare costs for your volunteers if your volunteers are coming from a particularly disadvantaged community, if you've built that into your grants. They're actually very good. They do actually realise HLF want people's volunteering groups to be as diverse as possible, and they will actually provide money to cover sort of rather unusual out-of-pocket expenses for your volunteers if they are from a disadvantaged community, and it will help you diversify your volunteer base. Try to have a wide mix of different projects and different things that need doing. I mean, if I look at my own project, Victoria County History, I don't have any problem finding people that actually want to do historical research. They come to me. I don't have to advertise for them. But I want people that can do more than that. I want people that can actually analyse data. I want people who can write up the findings for an academic audience. I want people who can write up findings in a more user-friendly way, write press releases, write things that will appeal to the public, people who can write publicity material, people that can design me a poster or a website or write pieces for the web, people who can put a newsletter together, people who can use computer software to draw maps, because every parish history needs a map. I need people who know about architecture. I need people who know people in their local village, so that if there's a particularly interesting house that we would like to get in and study, we need somebody that actually can make the introduction for us, or people who know people have got interesting things in their attic even. People who've got contacts to raise money, people who can write grant applications, all sorts of different skills. And the best way that you can actually find these people is to start off with a very diverse volunteer group, because it's very often said that in heritage projects, everybody is sort of very much a generalisation, but in a lot of heritage projects, you will find a lot of volunteers there are, shall we say, white, retired and middle class, whatever middle class might mean. And they're all going to have the same sort of contacts. The more diverse your volunteer mix is, the more diverse their contacts are. And these are the people you need. So when you've got a problem and you say, well, I need somebody to design a website, or I've got a problem with this, I need somebody to write some publicity material, or somebody to do this, you may well have a volunteer who says, I know just the person. And that is the ideal position to get into, because if they know just the person, they can make the introduction, and the person will know a little bit about your project before you start off. And that person that they introduce will be a very valuable person to you. The other thing you need to think about is the fact that people work in different ways. Some people actually like to work on their own. They're very happy working at studying documents or something. Some people like to work in pairs, so that if they've got a problem, they can ask somebody else and they don't have to ask you. Some people like to work in big groups. Try and have a complete range of different volunteering opportunities. So you've got some long-term opportunities, you've got some short-term opportunities, one day, 3 hours, a week, whatever it might be. Things that people can do as a group, things that people can do as pairs, things that people can do on their own. And really, how do you find those people? Well, I think the best advice I've got is just to try and get your volunteer base as diverse as you can. The more diverse it is, the easier it is to keep spreading out further and further and further into different communities and get more and more different types of volunteers there. It's not a catch-22. If you start off with a broad mix of volunteering opportunities, you will start to attract different people that are interested in different things. Once you start attracting different people, they will bring in other people that they know who are also different. So just keep trying to get it as diverse as possible. I'll give you a couple of examples. I've got three small groups of volunteers at the moment working on VCH projects that each started off as one person. And they've recruited friends, they've recruited colleagues, they've recruited people they know, and they're working together as little groups at the moment. And I've also got some volunteers that signed up through our e-volunteering programme to do something where I said, you know, yes, do this, it's going to take you about 2 hours, and they keep coming back and coming back and coming back and coming back, and it starts to snowball. So really my advice to you, just following up on what we've talked about as volunteers, is just have as diverse a range of volunteers as you can, and the way to do that is to have as diverse a range of opportunities as you can, things for people to do on their own, things for